Good morning, and thank you for joining us online again. We are so glad that you are here. I'm here sitting on my back porch overlooking the pond. I have little Annie on an extended leash, and Indy is not sure whether he wants to be inside or outside. So this might be done in a few takes. We have a few environmental things going on. But I wanted to get us started by reading our scripture for today. I will be reading Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 8 from the NRSV. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now let's hear what the scripture might mean for us today. This past year, we have looked at so many different stories of the Bible. Some of them have been pretty obvious, well-known. Some have been a little less well-known and a little more difficult to understand. So we've, you know, kind of turned some stories on their head. And as we know in the Bible, there are also a lot of instructions. Some of those instructions are really clear and straightforward. Some of them are a little old school, like Leviticus. We don't really follow those a lot. And so today McLaren brings up the question of what do we do with these instructions like we just read in Hebrews 13 for today? What do they mean for us today? So to answer this, we're going to talk about a few stories. In a few days, so by the time that this sermon airs, my grandparents on my dad's side, Mimi and Dada, will be visiting my brother and I here in Denver. And thinking about them coming and thinking about how, you know, they would keep me after school, they would keep us in the summers, they'd pick us up. We just had a very close relationship. I talked to them all the time over the phone. And a story came to mind about my brother and I in the back of my grandparents' Oldsmobile. Here's a picture of my brother and I just to show you how cute and adorable we were and how, of course, we could do no wrong. So one summer when my grandparents kept us, if we were good for the whole day, at the end of the day, we would get each $1.08 for tax to go to the Dollar Tree, and we'd get to pick out whatever thing we wanted, whether it was a snack or a toy or something for an art project. But we had to be good the whole day. So we were good. My Mimi picked us up. We were in the back of her Oldsmobile. And my brother at age 5 or 6 had figured out how to get answers and to get under people's skin. So what he would do is ask why. Over and over and over. I remember I was, you know, big sister explaining something really important about the ways of the world to my baby brother. And Sloan, my brother, said, why? And so I explained more of it to him. I don't remember what I was explaining. And then he responded with why. So I explained a little bit more. And he said, why again? I had to think a little bit harder. And then he just kept asking why. I think at first it was very genuine. And then I think he saw that he was getting able to stump his older sister. So he kept asking why just enough to get under my skin. And finally, I just got so mad, I probably yelled at him, probably pinched him, something mean, like, big sister, I've repented, Sloan, forgive me. But he got me to this point where I no longer knew the answers, and it made me mad, it made me frustrated. And at the time, Mimi, sitting in the front seat, told us if we weren't good again, if we didn't get along, we would not get to go to Dollar Tree. So I'm pretty sure we straightened up really fast. But what strikes me about this is that we are never asking questions. We are never trying to live our life in a bubble. We're always doing this in relationship. Sloan was asking questions to me in relationship with me. I was answering them in a way that I thought my baby brother wanted until I found out what he was really trying to do. And then Mimi was sitting there listening, absorbing it all in relationship with us as our grandmother. So in our spiritual journeys, we are always exploring, looking for how we do things, looking for answers, looking for truth in relationship with one another. McLaren in the book talks about these different spheres of circles of influence. And the way he describes it is almost like a bullet point or a bullseye where we are in the center. And then as you go out, it's our family. As you go out from there, it's our workplace. Or as you go out from there, it's your community of faith. And as you go out to the most extended part, it's the physical world around us. And maybe there's other circles in there, our online communities, our neighborhoods, our civic life. Maybe there's circles of people we don't like that are on there. So how do we live in relationship with these people? That's what we're looking at today. What strikes me is McLaren in the chapter organized his thoughts in such a way that it made me think of concentric circles, which is a tiny circle inside of a bigger circle inside of a bigger circle. And I thought, is that really how life is? And it made me think of maybe squiggles that a toddler might draw. That maybe our lives are more like that. Sometimes some circles are tighter around one another. Sometimes maybe the circles don't interconnect at all for us. And for others, it's so enmeshed that one circle is beginning and the other's ending, you can't find. It's a really interesting concept of how we live our lives and how we connect to one another. The first relationship that McLaren talks about is the one with our spouses. He says something along the lines that our spouses are the ones that can hurt us the most, or we can hurt our spouses the most, but we can also build up our spouses or our partners the most too. For my bachelor's degree at Baylor, I studied child and family studies, specifically family systems. And one of the things I remember learning the most, probably because it has a fun name, was John Gottman's Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. This is a theory about marriage and partnerships where if you see these four signs, if you don't do something about them, you might be in the apocalypse, in the end of a relationship. And those four things were criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. All of these are different ways that people might begin to hurt one another in an intimate relationship, like a marriage or with your partner or your spouse. And what they say is that with every one of these that occurs, you need five positive things to happen. As I was thinking about our relationships and marriage, which I have a little bit of experience with, maybe with your children, which I don't have experience with, but I can imagine in your work life, in your community life, even between nations, So when we are engaging in these destructive communication styles and these destructive behaviors, our relationships begin to break down. Of course, you hear this in the news of our US news criticizing another country's news agency or government styles. You hear about defensiveness where, before somebody's even being questioned about something, they instantly defend themselves. Maybe we see this in courtrooms. We might see stonewalling and giving the silent treatment, or building up a wall to where there's no communication access available. And that's different from setting healthy boundaries. Stonewalling is meant to hurt the other person. And of course, criticism is probably one of our most obvious ones, where you begin attacking character or actions in order to hurt someone. So we see this in all spheres of life. I really see criticism on Facebook and comments that people may or may not know that other people can see. And they can be so destructive to ourselves, to society, to each other. But there are antidotes. Gottman gives four antidotes to these four horsemen. And they are things like using I statements to talk about how you feel. Like, I felt really upset, or I felt unheard, or I felt really happy when you listened to me without your phone in your hand. It also means taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for what things you may have done to hurt another person unknowingly or knowingly. It also means maybe you take some time to have a breather, to go and listen to some positive and encouraging music while you figure out how to address the conflict. You can now hear my dogs in conflict with one another. It's really interesting of what happened if at a worldwide summit, the leaders of countries used I statements or took time to really listen carefully to what the problems were. How many problems would be solved? Or what if we did that on our social media, on our TikToks, on our Facebooks, on our Instagrams, instead of instantly assuming the worst in each other? These four horsemen and these four antidotes are all modern ways about talking about an ancient problem. These were the exact same issues that the Hebrews were trying to face in living in community with one another. These were the exact same things that the people in Ephesians or Timothy or Colossians were trying to address. And it is in these relationships that we can find solutions together. Listen to the message version of this same passage, and let's see if we can hear what some of those ancient solutions were. Stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. Why, some have extended hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. Regard prisoners as if you were in prison with them. Look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them had happened to you. Honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between partners. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have, since God assured us, I'll never let you down. Never walk off and leave you. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Almost every letter in the New Testament contains these exhortations or these household codes, trying to tell these new Christians, these people, how to live in community with one another. Even though there's this conflict, that conflict does happen. And the answer is found in the first verse of the chapter. Let mutual love continue. And it's not just continuing in our own houses. It's not just continuing in our own spheres of influence, but it's going out and influencing and loving others outside of our immediate communities. Right? Lately, we've been talking a lot about our strengths as a congregation and our staff meetings. And one of the things I can't get over is how amazing CUC is at giving to special causes, to needs, to a building campaign, about how generous your wallets, your hearts, your spirits are. It is constantly blowing my mind. And I wonder what that would look like if we were to go out now that COVID restrictions are lifting and give to one another in a different way. What would it look like if a few people who are passionate about the homeless, passionate about people who are refugees, got together and did something about it? Our missions committee has so many great partnerships that we can go forward and find even more. What would it look like for people who are passionate about people in prison to advocate for them, to use their voices to do something good for the people in prison? What would it look like for people in our congregation to use their knowledge about the racial injustices in our world to go forward and to do something, to advocate for the people around us? I know there's so many great works being done at CUC already. I wonder what would happen if we took that extra step forward, if we let mutual and sometimes unmutual love continue in serving our community and serving each other. So now I want to circle back to one of the stories I shared at the beginning about my brother and I and the conversation, or more like argument, we had with each other. Why? Why do we let mutual love continue? Why do we continue to serve and help one another? Why do we work so hard on our conversation and communication skills with our spouses, our partners, our children, our families? Why? Unfortunately, you're the only one that can answer that for yourselves. For me, I know it has something to do with the fact that I'm loved by God, and I know that the Spirit of God is in every person. And that somehow translates into action for me. But that answer might not work for you. So why? Why continue loving each other? One of the answers I know is because you are worthy of love. You are. Join me now in our pastoral and Lord's Prayer. God, you love each and every one of us. Your Spirit, the divine, penetrates every one of those spheres and circles of influence. Every person is loved and cherished by you. And let us continue to find ways to love and cherish those people as you do. Let us remember our sick, our hurting, those still deeply affected by the COVID-19 virus and the variants. We pray for all the people in our spheres and circles of influence, our families, our community of faith, our neighbors, our local governments, our state government, our national government, the governments around the world. And God, we thank you for the physical world that encompasses all of us. We thank you for the love that continues to flow through Columbine United Church. Lord, we're grateful that we can pray as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.